George on my mind.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This weekend brings the grand finale of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra's annual holiday celebration, Highmark Holiday Pops. Headlining the event this year is Pittsburgh native Chris Jameson, who is best known for finishing third on NBC's The Voice. Mr. Jameson will join the orchestra to perform Georgia on My Mind, a song, as you just heard, he clearly knows, this Christmas, and an original song he just wrote for the concert. His song Velvet went to number 53 on the Billboard charts and hit sales of more than 400,000. He joins us now in studio. Chris Jameson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh. Chris Jameson, this is a kind of a homecoming for you. You're now based back in Pittsburgh, but performing with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra for the Holiday Pops has to be kind of a nice thing to do with the hometown orchestra.
Yeah, this is one, I said last week, this is probably the coolest thing I think I've ever done as far as like singing on a stage, and the fact that the symphony is behind me and there's just all these instruments and the sound is huge, and singing to my hometown is one thing that never gets old. So,
cooler than singing the national anthem at a Steelers game?
I don't know. I don't know which one is cooler.
No,
that's
I'm
a tough
confusing
question.
You. I'm sorry. But which? Let me ask you this. Which is more nerve-wracking?
The anthem.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
Yep. Definitely more nerve-wracking.
I can imagine why, but I'll ask you. Why is it more nerve-wracking?
Just because of the history with the anthem and people sometimes screwing it up, and I do not want to be one of those people, so it tends to be more nerve-wracking. But I've had a lot of experience singing it. I used to sing it at all of my sister's high school sports games, so luckily it wasn't the first time I was singing the anthem, but it's still very nerve-wracking.
Yes. Well, for the record, you nailed it.
So. Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, you're used to singing with a band of your friends backing you up. So how different is it to sing with that great orchestra behind you?
It's a lot different. Obviously, there's just more going on than there would be if it was just me and my band. But also, it was very easy to go up on stage. During rehearsal, we rehearsed, I think, the songs one or two times, and then everyone just seemed to get it and flowed really well, and everything just was very easy and smooth. And it's definitely, as far as like a rehearsal experience, was one of the easiest rehearsals I've ever had, because you go up on stage and you have these seasoned, you know, musicians who are incredible,
right.
And you know, you can change the key and they just automatically know how to play it, and you can do all these different things, and they're just ready to go. So it was a very easy process, and one that a lot of the times during rehearsals things can get screwed up or difficult to understand if you're trying to convey something to the band and they're not quite grasping what you're trying to say. But this was super simple.
Does a singer have to read music? Is that something you've learned to do?
Or? Yeah. Well, I've been playing piano from a young age. I started, I think, when I was in like preschool or kindergarten. So I know how to read music. So it is very important, I think, for a musician to be able to read music. But
Now, some people avoid holiday music like the plague. Mm-hmm. Is it something you embrace?
Yeah, I mean, I love holiday music. I've always been a big fan. I'm a big fan of Michael Bublé's Christmas album. I'm not sure if you've heard that one before, but I love it. With this Christmas, though, the one that I sing with the symphony, it was nice to kind of take that song, and I don't think it's one of the most, it's not like a gigantic popular Christmas song that, is constantly played on repeat. So it was nice to kind of do something different than just, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, or one of those ones that are, that everyone knows and are constantly played. So,
sure. Well, let's listen to a bit of your recording of This Christmas. Again, this is Chris Jameson, and he'll be performing this, among other things, with the PSO Pops this weekend. Let's listen to his version of This Christmas.
The mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, the fireside is blazing bright, and we can't remain from Christmas for me. Oh, baby. Hey. Oh, yeah. It's gonna be.
That's Pittsburgh's own Chris Jamison and his a little bit of his version of This Christmas. And Chris, I'm guessing that the version you do with the symphony might sound just a little bit different.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different. There's obviously some sounds in that recorded version that can't be replicated with the symphony. So it's more of like a standard version of This Christmas that we do. But that was kind of the recording was kind of like my own version twist, kind of contemporizing it a little bit more.
So. Well, that's what freshens it up, isn't it? You know, because people hear these songs every year and they're pretty much done the same way, unless you do what you just did, which is, and I'm assuming you've gotten a good reaction to that.
Yeah, people have seemed to really enjoy it so far. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs, so I was just happy to kind of get to take my own twist on it and show people how I wanted, or how I thought maybe it should sound.
Now, who were your influences growing up? Who were the artists that you liked and wanted to emulate?
For me, it started out as like John Mayer, Jason Mraz were two people that I looked up to. I played a lot of acoustic shows, so for that reason, they kind of stood out to me. But as I've kind of grown more into like the pop music scene and kind of started doing that more, I really look up to Justin Timberlake's a big influence of mine. And but I do love, like, I've always been a huge fan of, like, Frank Sinatra, Rat Pack type of music as
Frank
well.
Frank Sinatra.
So I love that whole classy, like, being on stage in a suit, which is what I do with the symphony. That whole look good, feel good, I guess, type of mentality. I just think that those guys have a lot of class, and I don't know, something about them that I just have always really enjoyed.
Sure. Well, you can't go wrong with Old Blue Eyes.
Oh, no. Not at all.
Now, I read that you saw Justin Timberlake when you were just a little kid at Three Rivers Stadium.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine like Justin Timberlake in that old giant cement cookie cutter.
I think it was like the last concert that they did there before they did the new, PNC Park, I guess.
Right, right. Because, well, yeah, PNC Park and Heinz Field. And you're right, because 2000 was the last year of Three Rivers
Stadium. And so it was NSYNC, and obviously Justin Timberlake was in there, and then me and my sisters went. I don't remember how old I was. I was probably in first grade or second grade, but it was a cool experience.
Yeah, it was. Well, let's see. Three Rivers Stadium sat like, I'll say it was something like 53,000 people. So it was you and 52,999 other females.
Oh yeah, exactly.
and where did you sit?
I don't remember honestly. All I remember is going that we went to the concert. And walking around. I remember walking around there, but I don't know where we ended up sitting.
Sure.
I don't remember very well. But
well, hopefully it wasn't too far away.
Yeah. Plus I was like super short, so I'm not sure if the seats were good or how much I actually saw. But I remember being an awesome experience.
Well, it obviously made an impression because this is what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, Justin Timberlake knows who you are. You know, if he wanted to,
I hope he knows who I am. That'd be amazing.
I'm sure he does. So when did you begin singing?
I started singing when I was in fifth grade, I think. I was in a choir at church, and then I went from there. And the first, like, real musical experience I probably had was in the North Star Kids. I was in that group for like 2 years, and we performed around Pittsburgh, and it was like a singing and dancing Broadway standards type of group. And then I went from there into the Pittsburgh CLO. I did all of the classes there, and I also did all the high school musicals and school musicals. And then I kind of, my freshman year of college is whenever I really started focusing on what I wanted to sound like and the music I wanted to make. And I started playing out like bars and restaurants and just anywhere I could really play. And then I auditioned for The Voice, and it kind of just skyrocketed into something that I didn't really ever expect.
And how did that happen? You auditioned for The Voice. What is the process of getting on The Voice? I'm sure people are interested in this. And by the way, if you want to join our conversation with Chris Jamison, who is performing with the PSO Holiday Pops, Highmark Holiday Pops this weekend, 412-246-2002 if you have a fan question, or if you're looking for advice on how to get your singing career going, Chris might have some ideas for you. So so here you were, and you mentioned you were going out and singing in bars and doing that kind of thing when you were in college. And so this was just for you something that you weren't necessarily thinking would be a career thing. It was just something you enjoyed doing.
Yeah, it was always like my plan, I guess, that I had when I was in college was to go to school and get my degree and then get a job afterwards, and I'd play music on the weekends. I didn't really think of it as like the, you know, front runner as far as like what my career, what my life would be like. And then I auditioned for The Voice my sophomore year of college, and obviously my life plan and what I thought was in mind drastically changed. But I think it was for the best, and I think that that's what was supposed to happen, and that's why The Voice kind of came along is I was, that's what I was supposed to be doing. And I think that that was kind of like my sign. And so I've just run with it. I actually just started, though, taking online classes so I could finish my degree in business that I was getting. Because I, you know, I still want to start what I finished. But
yeah, I was going to ask you if you because they say when you drop out of college, that can really mess up your life. And,
yeah.
And you know, that's kind of a joke because clearly that hasn't happened with you. You're doing well. So you just audition for The Voice, and then they.
Yeah.
I mean, who are you in there with? Like hundreds of people? Are you standing in that line outside the studio?
No, I actually sent a video in originally,
okay.
And then after that, I went to a callback audition in Philadelphia, and then I went to another callback audition in L.A., and then I waited a few months until I got, you know, if I would have got the phone call, that meant that I was going to be on or going to go and audition for the blind auditions or audition meaning be on the blind auditions or, you know, if I didn't get the call, I didn't make it. So I just kind of waited. And again, I never like even throughout every step of the process, never once did I like expect to make it to the next round or whatever. I didn't want to get my expectations high just to be like, you know, crushed or whatever if I didn't get it, just because of how many people auditioned for a show like that and how big of an opportunity is. I just didn't want to put like all my eggs in one basket, so I just kind of went with each round, and then before I knew it, I was standing on the stage in the finale, and it was a very weird thing. The audition process is long, but once you actually get started with the show, it goes by in like feels like 2 seconds. It's the quickest thing, especially coming from like a long audition process. It feels just so fast.
And then there you are on NBC.
And then you're done, yeah.
So you're assigned a mentor,
yes,
on this show. That's kind of one of the twists of the show, which is actually kind of interesting. Because there are, as you know, a lot of shows like this, American Idol, mm-hmm, and others. So your mentor was Adam Levine.
Yes.
What was that like? What was he like to work with?
He was amazing. It was a weird thing because I never, even like all the coaches, Blake Shelton, Pharrell, and Gwen Stefani, I'd never actually seen these people in person or had conversations with them. The only time I saw them was in magazines or on TV or at award shows. So it was weird being in front of them and like expected to have a conversation with someone that
sure,
you obviously look up to and have never would have expected ever to have a conversation with. But he was so, that's like the one thing is all those coaches are so normal and so like personable people, and we all make them, you know, we all kind of give them that celebrity status, or we think they're like these gigantic, you know, celebrities who you know, didn't have a childhood or something, but they all, you know, they all came from somewhere, and they all have parents, and they all started out doing something.
Well, he is the, you know, the moves like Jagger guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so he is a big star. But
yes.
You're saying he was pretty down to earth. I'm thinking there's got to be some behind this backstage dirt or some,
yeah,
some sort of conflict you can share with us.
No, I didn't. Honestly, there was no conflict ever.
Wow.
On the show
there,
or anything.
There was
that
never a
me.
Time, never a time when you said, look, Adam, I want to sing it this way. And he's telling you something else. And
no, never. It was always a very collaborative effort as far as like choosing songs and how, you know, I should sing them. And there was definitely times where I went in doing something and he was like, oh, why don't we try it this way or whatever. And of course, I was open to, you know, changing things, or I was, you know, always open because I obviously he's there to mentor me and to help,
sure,
me and to give me constructive criticism and things like that. And so,
and how did his advice help you?
Oh, it was awesome. Like the main thing was I feel like on the show throughout the whole process, I started out very, very nervous in the first audition.
Sure.
I didn't move at all. I just kind of stood still. And
it's hard to sing when you're nervous, too.
Yes, it's very hard to sing. So yeah, I kind of got out of my show as the show got out of my shell as the show continued on. And you know, I got more comfortable and started moving more, and my performing, you know, was 10 times better than it was whenever I first auditioned. So he just kind of brought this inner, I don't know what, entertainer, I guess, or something out of me that I knew was always in there, but just never had the guts to, you know, let it all go.
That's a really wonderful story. That is nice to hear. So you end up finishing third. You're a finalist on The Voice. How has this changed your life now?
Well, my life is, I mean, before I was going to school and I was at school and that was my focus. So now, you know, I'm back in Pittsburgh, kind of like my home base, and I'm playing shows everywhere. I've never done this much traveling. I didn't really, the first time I flew in a plane was like my junior year of high school. So since then, I've been flying all over the place, and I spend a lot of my time in the air. And, you know, now my focus is now music, you know, as opposed to my plan being always to get my degree and, you know, do all that different stuff.
But so now, how do you spend your days?
Well,
you're writing, right?
I write a lot of music. I'm trying to get better at that because, you know, like I was saying before, music wasn't my primary focus, so I didn't spend a lot of time writing music. And so after the show, I kind of went from being a nobody to now I'm on the show, and, you know, I have a fan base. I have people that want to hear new things from me.
Sure.
And so I kind of had to kind of take the fast track and figure out what I wanted my music to sound like, and how I could come across as, you know, and how I could be original and how I could develop my own thing. So I've just been writing a lot and trying to hone in on that and what I want my voice to be, and, you know, trying to find my way through all this gigantic music business world and try to get my spot in there, because there's a lot of people that are out there doing the same thing that I'm doing. So got to figure out how I can stand out.
But you're making records, you're selling records, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I guess, is there a career goal at this point that you have?
I think for me, it's just to put out, my current goal is to put out an EP, which is like a 5-track song, CD, I mean, and, you know, put that out and have it be like a true representation of who Chris Jameson is. And then kind of from there, you know, continue evolving and try to be successful at all of this. If I'm, you know, super, super famous or whatever, that's great. And if I'm not, that's fine too. And I'll keep doing, you know, what I'm doing and keep putting music out. And as long as I'm continuing to have fun with it and, you know, can make people happy with the music I'm making, regardless of what level that's on, I'll be happy.
Chris Jameson is, of course, a Pittsburgh native, and you know him from The Voice, where he was a finalist on NBC. He is headlining with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, PSO Pops, the Highmark Holiday Pops concerts this weekend. We'll give you the details. Okay, now we're in a race here because we have a minute left. You performed, I wanted to just mention this very quickly, you performed with Marvin Hamlisch as a kid.
Yeah, when I was in the North Star Kids, we performed with Marvin Hamlisch in like the Fiddlesticks concert. And that was my first time on Heinz Hall stage. So now this is my second time, obviously, like in a different format. But this is my second time on the stage as like a solo artist or whatever. So.
Well, I'm coming to see you this weekend. So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. So it's Friday night in a different location, the Scottish Rites
Cathedral.
And that's, where is that?
In Newcastle.
Newcastle, thank you. Because they wanted me to mention that.
Yes.
Now we have. And then Saturday afternoon and evening at Heinz Hall, and Sunday afternoon, the Pittsburgh Holiday Pops, Highmark Holiday Pops with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, and Chris Jameson, who has been our guest. Chris, you're a great guy. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you tomorrow.